Acts chapter 20. Appreciate the singing. I suppose we all understand what a race is. I suppose we've all somehow, some way watched at least a portion of some type of race. Usually a race has a beginning and an end. And everyone in the race knows where the finish line is. But we who are saved are in a race, and none of us knows where the finish line is. You say, how in the world can you run a race and not know where the end is? Well, you got to make sure every step's the right step. And that you run daily as the Lord directs. And when we get to the end, we'll be at the right place. Do not misunderstand. I am not suggesting for a second that we earn our way to heaven or that we merit our salvation. This Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith. And that's how we get into the family of God. That's how we're saved. But usually with a race, the one who's the quickest wins, but not with the race that we're in. You say, how in the world can there be a race and you don't know where the ending is, the finish line, and the one that's the quickest is not always the winner? Well, the answer's simple. I'm not running against you. And I'm not running against a stopwatch or a timetable. The race that I am in is my life and what God desires to do while I'm alive, while I'm topside of the earth. From the moment when I got saved to the time I leave this world, that is my race. Paul understood that, Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now notice what Paul says. I'll go ahead and mention he is saying here, I know what's facing me is going to be hard. I don't know all that my future holds, but I do know this. It's going to be difficult. The Lord has informed me. He has let me in on some things. He has given me some insight. And ahead is a road of difficulty. Ahead is going to be a road of afflictions and imprisonment. And notice what he says, knowing these things. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, listen, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, I know this race is going to be difficult. I understand the future will not be easy. But he says these things have no effect on me. And the reason he could say that was because he had already gotten it settled that he was going to run his race. He said, none of these things move me that I might be able to know for sure that I've run my course and my race. At the end of his life, he says the same type of thing in 2 Timothy 4:7. For I have fought a good fight. And again, notice the personal statement. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul took this thing personally. He said, none of these things move me that I might finish my course. At the end of his life, he says, I have finished my course. He understood that he was in a race. But the race was not against someone else. The race was not against a time clock. The race had nothing to do with distance and time. The race had nothing to do with opponents and competition. The race had to do with one thing, and that was that he do God's will in the time he had on this earth. And he realized and understood something. He could do very little to others or for others and their race. He had very little effect on others, really. But the one thing he could affect, the one thing he could make a difference in, was in his life and his race, to make sure that he did what God wanted him to do. I want to try to preach this morning on this thought, the pace of the race. Usually when we think about a race, the gun goes off and they run as fast as they can to the finish line. And whoever gets there first is the winner. The cars go around the track, and whoever gets to the end first is the winner. The dogs run, or the horses run, or whatever. When we think about a race, we think that whoever's fastest is the winner. But when it comes to the race of life, when it comes to my race, your race, the opposite is true. For it's not always the quickest or the fastest, but it's the person who walks with the Lord daily and follows Him. I gain that from these verses. Look again in verse 24. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. He speaks here of his direction. You've never been in a race like this, because every race you've ever seen, all the participants line up together on the starting line. And when the gun is sounded, they all take off together. But the race I'm talking about, everybody takes off in different directions, because everybody has their own course. The direction you run may be totally different than the direction I run. The path I walk in this world will be different than the path you walk. The things I face will be different than what you face. Certainly there are similarities. For if you're saved, you are a part of the family. And there will be things of like manner in our lives. But the bottom line is, Paul said, I have my race to run. I have my course to be concerned about. I don't have to worry about someone else and how they're running and compare myself with them. What I have to be concerned about is, am I going the direction the Lord wants me to go? How can this be? How can you run a race and everybody's going in different directions? Again, the answer is this. What you do and what I do will be different. what God expects from me and what God expects from anybody else alive is totally different. I have a path to run. I have a course to go. I have a race to run. And it's personal. It's my course. And the only way, and here's my point, the only way I can run it, the only way I can be successful, the only way I can stay on the right path and do that that pleases God is to be sensitive to Him and listen to Him. For He's the one that knows my course. He's the only one who knows the direction He wants me to go. He's the only one who knows His will for my life and yours. And that's why we need to stay sensitive. That's why we need to stay tender toward Him. That's why we need to let Him lead us and follow Him. Doesn't that sound familiar? Follow Him. Isn't that exactly what He told the disciples when He first called them? He spoke two words to those disciples. Follow Me. He spoke those same two words to you when you got saved, whether you heard Him audibly or not, or in your heart or not. He said to all of us, follow Me. I have a path for you to follow. I have a course for you to run. I have a race for you to run. And it's different than your neighbor. It's different than your wife or husband. It's different than your children or your parents. It's different than your friends. You're running this course just for yourself, just between you and Me. Paul talks about his direction. Now, how can I follow Him? Two things. Stay in the book, because when we get out of this book, we cease to follow Him. We may not like everything that's in this Bible, but it's what shows us how we're to run this race we're in. It is what directs us if we allow it. We listen to the Scriptures, and then we listen to the Spirit. He'll direct us. He'll lead us. He will show us day by day how we're to walk, what we're to do, what decisions we're to make. That tells me something. Once again, and I'll repeat it over and over through this message, we must be sensitive. We must be tender toward Him. Have you ever talked with someone who was perhaps weak or sick, and you had to listen closely to what they said, for their voice was so feeble? That shows sensitivity. You listen closely because you don't want to miss what they're saying. You cut everything else out. You're not thinking of anything else. You have your mind focused on their words. You even look at their lips to make sure you don't miss anything. That's being sensitive. And so it should be with us and our Lord. We should listen intently. Be sensitive to Him. Cut out the world. Cut out the junk to where we can hear Him. That's the only way I'll run my path. That's the only way I'll stay on the course. That's the only way I'll do what pleases God, is to be sensitive to Him. Because I can't look at the opponent. I can't look at the competition and see what they're doing, for they're running a different path. They're in a different type of race. They're on a different course. And I cannot compare myself with them because they're going in a different direction. Jesus said, follow Me. And that's what we're to do. He said, follow Me. And I will make you to be fishers of men. That tells me if we follow Him, there's a good result. If you'll follow Me, I will make you to be fishers of men. That tells me in following Him, it leads us in the best possible course or track that we have in this life. We think we know better than God. We think we know how to make decisions. Most of our decisions lead us in the wrong direction. Most of our plans make more problems for us. All we can do, the only hope we have, is to stay sensitive to Him, obedient to Him, and let Him speak. And that way, the best possible life we could ever live in this world will be ours. Paul talks about his direction. You see, it's like a map. Our life is like a map. The path you're running is like a course. And you don't know the direction. How long has it been since you went on a trip and you had to look at a map to find the direction? You had never been that way before. You had never gone down that road. You had never gone to the place you were going. So you referred to a map. That map showed you what turns to make. That map showed you how far you had to go till the next turn. And you intently observed and studied the map. And when you needed to make the turn, you did because the map said to. That's how our life is. The will of God. We're led by the Spirit and the Scripture. And we have to have the right map. If you come to me this afternoon and say, "Brother Rick, I'm going to Raleigh. I have no idea how to go to Raleigh." And I say, "Well, I got a map right here." And I lay it out and I just say, "Follow that map and you'll get to Raleigh." And you open it up and you say, "Brother Rick, this is a map of California." Now see, it don't matter. It's a map. Just follow it. Well, that doesn't make a lick of sense. But many of us are trying to follow the different map and a wrong map to get us through this world. We're just trying our opinion, how we feel, what others suggest, what seems right to us, what we want instead of what God says. The only way we're going to run this course successfully, the only way we're going to finish our course successfully is to follow Him daily. You're going down a path that you have no idea where it leads. You've never gone this way before. Paul said, "My course, my race." This is a path that's personal. It's only for me, and only He can show me what direction to go. Paul talks about his direction, and my personal concern is this. If I need His help in directing me down this course, and He's the only one who knows the direction, and the only way I can know which way to go is by listening to Him, I'd better learn how to hear from Him. I'd better be willing, just like that map, if I give you the right map, and right before you it tells you how to get from here to Raleigh, and you're not willing to listen or watch or observe or obey the map, it's useless. And so it is with us and our run, our race through this world. We need to listen to Him. My problem this morning is this. If we neglect to hear Him, we'll get to where we can't hear Him. Got Bible for it. You want to hear it? Acts 28:26. "Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and not perceive." Old Testament scripture says the same thing in Isaiah 6:9-11. Listen to this. "And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." You know what God's saying? "I have spoken to you so much, and you've ignored me. You have run your life, even though I've tried to help you. You have listened to your thoughts and your opinions and other people's plans instead of listening to me. And now I'm going to make it where you can't hear me. And I'll speak, but I'll make your ears heavy where you can't hear and you can't understand. And I'll show you something, but I'll make your eyes to where you can't see. What a terrible judgment from God. He said, I'll make sure because you haven't listened, I'll make it where you can't listen. Because you haven't heard, I'll make it where you can't hear. And the question of Isaiah is exactly what I would say. How long? How long will this last? That's exactly what he asked. Then said I, Lord, how long? And the answer comes, listen. And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. He said, I've spoken to them, and they will not listen. I'll make it where they can't hear. And Isaiah said, how long? And he says, it'll take them to the end. It'll take them to the bottom. It'll take them to where they have nothing left. Why? Because they didn't listen to God. We're in a race. The only way we know our path, the only way you know your path, your course, is to listen to God. And if we don't listen, we're going to get off course. He talked about His direction. Look in verse 18. And when they were come to Him, He said unto them, you know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by laying in wait of the Jews. Notice, and have how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Paul says, I gave my all. I'm running this race, and I didn't hold back anything. He says, I came to you in humility of mind. I came to you preaching the gospel. I didn't come trying to build myself up. I didn't come for recognition. I didn't have to be patted on the back. I didn't have to have the position of authority or notice. He says, I came in humility of mind. I came humble before you, exalting the Lord and not myself. He says, I came with many tears. I came with an open heart. I came caring for you. I preached with a burden. I preached with a broken heart. He says, I kept back nothing. I gave my everything. What's he saying? As I ran my race, I gave it all. He spoke not only of His direction, but He speaks of His dedication. He said, I gave everything. He preached to a people. He reached out to a people that He knew would mistreat Him, that He knew would break His heart, who He knew would misunderstand and turn on Him. And yet He did not protect His heart. He did not hold back. He gave His all. He was running His course with everything that He had. He was giving it all. He was giving it in a dedicated way. And friend, that's what we need to do for the Lord. He deserves our best. He deserves our all. Even those that Paul preached to many times did turn against him. He said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save all. He spoke of some of his troubles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. He said, I have faced difficulties. But what did he say? Here's my point. Read what he says. None of these things move me. None of it has any effect on me. The heartache, it hurts, but it doesn't stop me. Those who turn against me, It cuts me, but it doesn't slow me down. The problems I've endured have been difficult, and it's gotten the best of me at times, but it hasn't stopped me from the race. I've remained dedicated to my course. I've remained dedicated to my race. That's what he says. I cannot, if I'm to run my race, if I'm going to get to the end of this race and be glad when I get to the end, I can't let these problems get to me. I can't let these troubles get to me. He was heading to Jerusalem. Big debate then, big debate now, as whether he was in God's will or not. I'll leave that to heaven, and we'll find out then. But Paul believed his course, his race, led him to Jerusalem. And he says, I know when I get there what's waiting. I know it's going to be imprisonment. In Acts 24, I believe it is, it's told clearly he will be bound and imprisoned if he goes. But he says, these things don't move me, because if my path leads me to prison, that's still where I need to go. Dedication. We're looking for the easy path. We're looking for the easy way. Paul looked for the right way. We're looking for the easy path, the smooth road. Paul said, I want to run my road, my path, my course. It may lead me through harsh times, and it will. It may lead me down the rough road, and it will. But if that's the path that God has declared for me, if that's the path I must run, if this is my race, I must run it, but not just run it. Run it with all my heart. With all my heart. That's all that's within me. And the heartache and the pain and the trouble that's ahead, it doesn't affect me, because I'm more concentrated on my race than where it takes me. Paul talks about his direction, the direction he's running. But he talks about his dedication. And if you're more concerned about what might happen if you run your race than the fact that you want to please God, you'll fail Him. If I'm so concerned about what God may ask of me, if I give my all to Him, I probably won't give my all. If I'm thinking, well, He'll send me to Africa, sure as the world, we probably will never dedicate our all. If I'm concerned about what people will think and the reaction to what I do as I run this race, it'll probably hinder me from running my race. Because as I make decisions for Christ, as I pray and say, Lord, lead me in my life, if I'm concerned about, well, what would they think or how would they react, it's going to affect my dedication and surrender to the path and His will. Bottom line is, like Paul, stay focused on the path. Stay focused on God's will. Do what God says, and He'll take care of the results. He'll take care of the people. He'll take care of the situations. He'll take care of the problems. Our focus needs to be on the path. God, what do You want? What is Your will? Paul said, I'm giving my all. I'm touching heaven because I need Him desperately. Verse 24 again. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I have given my all to the Lord. I have listened to Him daily as He leads me down this path as I'm running my race. And he says, I have given my all, and I haven't counted my life dear for one reason, for one purpose, for one reason. I realize one day I'll be at the end of my course. I'll be at the end of the race. And if I'm to be glad then for how I've run now, I must run now with Him in sight, with Him in mind, surrender to Him. He said that I might finish my course with joy. Finish my course. He spoke not only of His direction and His dedication. He spoke of His destination. He said, finish my race. This is the only race you will ever know of when you don't know where the finish line is. Most races, that finish line is established because that's where all the excitement's at. That's where everybody's focused. And everybody knows exactly. I mean, there is a drawn line. There is a designated place. This is the finish line. Not so in our race. For I don't know when my race will end, and neither do you. And therefore, if I am to do as Paul said, to run my race to where it will finish in joy, I must run daily in obedience to the Lord. I must make sure that every step is right if I'm to finish right. I think one of the worst things that could happen to somebody who's saved is to get at the end of their life and look back at those years and realize, I've wasted so much time. I have traveled so short of a distance, spiritually speaking. I've been saved so many years, and I lack maturity so much. I'm an infant, even though I've been saved for years. I think one of the worst things that could happen to a Christian is to realize life is almost at an end. The race is almost run. The finish line is just ahead. And look back and realize I've done so little for God. He's been able to use me so little. I've done so few things. My life has counted so little for God. And at that point, there's not a thing you can do about it. Because you can't go back and redo it. And that's why Paul said, I run daily. I run every step. Because the finish line's out there. And I have no idea when it is. It may be tomorrow. It may be the next 5 seconds. I don't know when my race will end. But if I am to get to the end of my race, the end of my course, and be happy and glad, if I'm to end this life with joy, I must now, while I can, make sure every step in this race is in obedience to God, that I'm following Him. How do you run the race? Finally, to the message. Do you want to hear it? Sorry, you're going to anyway. 5 quick things. Surrender. Lord, my only hope, the only way I'm not going to make a mess, the only way I'll know Your sweet will, is God, if You'll take my life. Because if I'm in charge, I'm going to get off course. If I make my own decisions, I'm just going to cause problems for myself and those around me. Oh God, I surrender. Number 2, how do you run your race? Number 2, sensitivity. Listen to God. Be sensitive. Tune out the world. Tune out your own thoughts. Tune out man's opinion and listen to God, for only He knows your path. Only He knows the course you have to run. Everybody else is running, but they're on a different course. They're on a different path. The only one who knows your path is your Lord. So you must be sensitive to Him. Listen to Him. Be tender toward Him. Listen, not just at church. We come to church and talk about being sensitive. Most of us aren't even sensitive to Him here. But oh, it needs to be a daily 24/7 sensitivity to Him. For the walk of the Lord and our run with this path and this race is not just a church thing. It's a life thing. Daily, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we need to be sensitive to heaven. Surrender. Sensitivity. Number three, study. Get in this book because it's your map. It's your road map. It shows you the path you're to run. It shows you the direction you're to go in. I promise you, I've said this, I guess, 1,000 times, we will never walk with the Lord successfully if we neglect this Bible. You'll never have any help from God apart from this book. We'll never do the right thing if we neglect His book. Number one, surrender. Number two, sensitivity. Number three, study. Number four, supplication. Pray. Spend time on your face. Talk with God. Worship Him. Spend time before Him. Open your heart to Him. Just be quiet before Him and say, "Oh God, speak to me." And number five, sanctification. Stay clean. Stay right. Because when we get the filth of this world on us, we'll never hear from God. If we got the world clinging to us, we'll never hear Him, and we'll never even want to run the race. Pretend with me your life ends at that wall, and you got saved at this wall. And this is not a thing of distance, this is not a thing of time, because we don't know how many years between getting saved and leaving this world. This is a distance, listen, of maturity, growing in the Lord, getting mature, knowing more about Him. This is a thing of serving Him, being able for God to accomplish something through us, Him using us. This is a thing of attitude. Instead of sour attitudes, we threw, even in spite of problems and troubles, God develops in us a sweet attitude. So this distance has nothing to do with time. It has to do with maturity, of service, and your spiritual condition. You're saved right here. How far are you? How far are you? If you've been saved 5 years, and let's say you should be here by now, how mature are you in the Lord? How surrendered are you? How much has He been able to use you in these however many years you've been saved? How's your attitude? Do you have a sweet spirit because He's developed that in you? I promise you, as we run this race, we're going to run into some things. We're going to run into temptation. The temptation to do wrong. The temptation to partake of sin. And when we find that place along our path, we'd better be surrendered. Remember that word? Sensitive. Remember that word? Studying in that book. Supplication in prayer. And know, Lord, even though my flesh won't see us, the wise thing is to say no. The wise thing. You see, what you do every time you put something on your shoulder, some other weight, you know what the Bible talks about? The weights, it slows us down. And every time we allow something else to come into our life, it slows us down further and we lose progress even more. We're not growing and we're not maturing, and God's not able to use us as much as He wants to because of the things we allow in our lives. Somehow along this race, you'll run into the pit of despair. Something will happen that will hurt you greatly. Something will rip your heart apart. Something will cut you to the quick. And you have to decide, how am I going to react with this place? Will I allow it to be another weight on my shoulder to weight me down even further to where my race will be slowed even more and I'll be hindered anymore? Or will I be surrendered to Him? God, even though I'm hurting, I know there's a reason You let this come. Be sensitive to Him. Oh God, speak to me. I need You now. Stay in that book. Stay in prayer. Stay clean and sanctified. Every time you face something in your life, that's the key. You go on down the road, and maybe there'll be somebody who wrongs you. Someone who really did do you wrong. And you'll face a decision of letting that be another weight, letting that slow you down again even further, or letting God take care of it. Such a delivering time when you can, in this path and in this race, get rid of some of these weights and get help and deliverance from God. Because one of these days, we're going to be at the end. And it'll be too late to get a lot of things settled. It'll be too late to mature. It'll be too late to dedicate our lives that God might use us. It'll be too late to do a lot of things that we should have done during the whole path. And Paul said, I run every step, every day, because I know one day I'm going to be at the end. And if I'm going to run to where I can get to the end in joy, I've got to run with all my heart. Where are you at in this journey? Honestly, are you as mature as your spiritual age? Do little things still just about knock you flat? We've been saved for long. It shouldn't. We should have developed past that. We should have matured more. Is God able to use you? Are you surrendered and yielded to Him and to His will? Or are you more concerned about what you want and your desires and the thing of the world? As we grow and as we run this race, we should be maturing and getting past some things. There's somebody here this morning, I don't know who, but you're so weighted down, your race has almost come to a stop. And the God of the Bible can help you with those problems and those weights and those burdens. There's somebody here, and I don't know who, you're not even saved. You're not even in the race. There's some people who have allowed things or people or problems to so hinder your run, your race, that you've just about come to a stop. And the Lord wants to help you with that. He's here to help you. Let's stand together.